Good morning and welcome to our service. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. So we'll reflect on Jesus' loving shepherding care, but also he is the Lamb of God who laid down his life to give us eternal life. We begin our service with a prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Our hearts in true devotion bow, your Spirit send with grace divine, and let your truth within us shine. Unseal our lips to sing your praise, our souls to you in worship raise. Make strong our faith, increase our light, that we may know your name aright. Amen. Our first hymn is Jerusalem, my happy home. And this is talking about heaven. The heavenly Jerusalem. Please stand. Our service continues with the worship liturgy found at page 3 at the top of the bulletin, at page 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We join to make confession of our sins. Almighty and most merciful Father, I have strayed from your paths like a lost sheep. Out of my heart have come evil thoughts, emotions, and desires. I have offended against your holy law of love in my words and actions. I am truly sorry for all my offenses of thought, word, and deed. Have mercy on me and forgive me for Jesus' sake. Restore me and revive my spirit according to the promise you have declared to me in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Fill my heart with your love that I may lead a godly and righteous life to the glory of your name. Lift up your hearts in peace and with joy. The Lord God, according to his promise, is slow to anger and abounding in mercy and love. By the command and in the stead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, out of your fatherly goodness, you have been mindful of us poor, miserable sinners, and have given us your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also defend us from sin, death, and the devil. We pray that you would grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, we also may know him, and trusting in him, seek help and comfort in him. From our hearts obey his voice and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 17 to 35. At this point in Paul's ministry, he is making a trip to Jerusalem, where he knows he's going to be put in prison. And he wanted to leave a parting message with the elders of Ephesus, that is, the pastors, the under-shepherds. He wanted to tell them of the work that he carried out in their midst, proclaiming to them the whole counsel of God's word, and that they were to look out for spiritual dangers out there as they would shepherd the flocks entrusted to their care. From Miletus, he, that is Paul, sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves, false teachers, will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 to 33. And this chapter has been known as the Good Shepherd chapter. And as it tells us of Jesus' loving shepherding care. And now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Please stand. We join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We'll continue with the next hymn, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I Shall Not Want." Please stand, excuse me, please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Good Shepherd Jesus. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. John writes, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them, and they shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, as well as the Lamb of God, who laid down his life to give us forgiveness and eternal salvation, dear fellow redeemed. If you had an opportunity to look into the future, what would you want to learn and see the future holds in store for you? In our younger years, we are curious about, well, how will it go for us when we get older? What are we going to do? What are we going to do for a living? And as we get along in years, we think about the younger generation. How are they going to fare? And I think that is a concerning thought with every passing year as this world just goes down, down, down. And we wonder, how are the younger folks going to handle all this? And how are they going to fare? And as we get up in years, we wonder what our health is going to be like, how we're going to be doing in the declining years of our life. Looking still further on into eternity, we wonder, what's it going to be like to be in heaven? Ah, that heavenly Jerusalem, our eternal home. What's it going to be like? And we wonder with great concern and interest, how many of our family, our relatives, and our friends will end up in heaven? While we don't have a crystal ball that enables us to look into the future, we do have God's revelations where he reveals to us what it's going to be like for us as Christians living in this world till the end of time. And he also reveals to us many wonderful things about what the future life in heaven will be like. By way of a special vision, the Apostle John received and recorded in the book of Revelation a glimpse of heaven and what our eternal life will be like there. Through the means of symbolic pictures, we're enabled to see a multiplicity and a vast number of believers in heaven, and the cause for Christians being able to go to that eternal home and the kind of blessed life that we will enjoy in eternity. As John beholds the glorious sights of all the many citizens of heaven, he makes no mention of names. Oh, there are some places in the Bible where there's a list of names that of believers who will be in heaven, and that's found specifically in Hebrews chapter 11. We refer to that chapter as the Hall of Faith. All the believers who went on before us, and we know they're in heaven. But we're not going to find our name, or the name of our family members, or friends, or acquaintances recorded in the Bible. But they're going to be in heaven. John's vision does help us out in this regard, as the Apostle Paul tells of seeing a vast multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. What a comfort it is to us to know that the heavens of eternity and our eternal home is going to be filled with a vast number of people that will share in that future life of glory. Not only is the large number of saints in heaven reassuring to us, but also that God doesn't discriminate between races and colors or nationalities when it comes to welcoming people into his eternal kingdom. God loves all people all over the world. As God looks down upon us, he views all of us as very, very special and very important to him. And that far-reaching love caused him to send his son to serve as the Lamb of God, to take away our sins, make it possible for us to go to heaven, and giving his church the commission. Now you go out into all the world and you preach the gospel to everyone. Don't discriminate against anyone. You preach it to everyone, whether they're rich or poor, no matter who they are. And so the gospel invitation to become a part of God's kingdom of grace here in time and his kingdom of glory and hereafter is to be extended to all people. As vast as that number will be of those entering the kingdom of glory in heaven, the number is not going to include everybody who has ever walked upon the face of this earth, as a universalist would mistakenly have us believe. Jesus set the record straight by declaring in his Sermon on the Mount, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who will find it." In other words, there are going to be relatively few people who, by the grace of God, are enabled to walk on that straight and narrow path to heaven. Of the many who end up in heaven, not to include everyone who had some kind of a religious belief. For Jesus reveals, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In Jesus, referring to doing the will of the Father to enable us to get into heaven, he's not talking about the keeping of the commandments of his moral law. Because if that was the way, according to God's standard, we'd have to keep it perfectly from day one to the very end. Can't do that. But rather, doing the will of the Father is simply this: his gracious will of believing in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. That is the Father's will that enables us to enter heaven. In John's vision of heaven, there is a clear indication of how the saints of heaven are blessed with that exalted privilege of standing before the throne in white robes. With white being a symbol for purity and holiness, the saints of heaven are pictured as being righteous, free of any moral defect or blemish. The question of how the saints of heaven attain that blameless condition is answered in these words of Scripture. These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The saints of heaven didn't always have white robes of righteousness, at least not in this world. Not the present world, for in this temporal world, we don't possess any righteousness or holiness of our own that would avail before God. Even our best efforts of trying to be good, it's not good enough when it comes to the moral law of God, because it says in Isaiah, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, being tainted with sin and imperfection. Never should we who are wearing the spotted garment of sin presume to think that we can stand before the throne of God, the judgment seat of God, and be accepted on the basis of our own goodness. Now, excuse me. Jesus told a parable about a man who thought he could make it into the wedding banquet wearing his own robe of the wedding banquet, for the wedding banquet. That is his own goodness. Sad to say, Jesus reveals in the parable, this man was cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, because you can't make it to heaven on the basis of your own goodness. Our sin-stained garments need to be completely washed clean of every spot if we are to be welcomed into heaven. And that cleansing is accomplished by the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The cleansing process pictured in our text is one of many paradoxes in the Bible, which upon first hearing sounds contradictory. Blood? Washing you clean? The paradox is that the red blood of the Lamb of God washes out all the stains from the robes of our lives and makes them pure white. To the unlearned, this washing process sounds a little far-fetched, until God gives them eyes to see and hearts to believe that we're washed clean by Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. Again, with the will of God spoken of earlier, in order to enter God's eternal kingdom, it's simply this: repent of your sins on a daily basis. Turn to Jesus in faith for forgiveness and eternal salvation. That is the will of the Father that enables us to gain entrance into heaven. When we wonder about the future fate of our relatives, friends, and acquaintances, our minds could rest at ease when we hear them make a confession, Jesus is their Lord and Savior, and when we see their lives reflecting a Christian faith, leading a godly life, and also acknowledging that they're imperfect human beings. They need God's forgiveness. They need the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Such a Christian faith and life found in our dear loved ones is of utmost concern to us, especially when we think about our family, our children, our grandchildren. We want all of them to be at that massive family reunion in heaven, and we don't want to have any of them missing. I remember my father talking about his daily evening prayer. Now, how he prayed for all his family. And there were a lot of family, a lot of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And he said, I remember them each night in my prayers. And of course, uppermost in his mind was praying that all of them would end up in heaven. You can't think of any more important or meaningful prayer than that. We want them all there. We want them all there because this is going to be a glorious world to live in throughout all eternity. John's vision, that wonderful estate, is described by believers waving palm branches in the air. Now, this was a symbolic picture of festive joy. Think of Palm Sunday. Those folks greeting Jesus, coming into Jerusalem, they weren't just simply putting palms on the way for Jesus to cross over. They were waving those palm branches in the air because the promised king was finally coming. And so that's pictured of that life in heaven, like waving palm branches in the air with festive joy. Every single day in heaven is going to be like a celebration. It's going to be like having Christmas and Easter every day, only far, far better. Citizens of heaven will experience such unending festive joy because of the glorious life that's in store for us there. This blessed heavenly life is expressed in this way in John's vision. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The expression of God dwelling among believers in heaven can also be translated in this way: God spreading his tent over the saved in heaven. This gives us the picture that in heaven there's going to be complete safety and security under the almighty hand and loving care of God. There'll be absolutely nothing in heaven that we will lack, because God will see to it that there won't be any hunger or thirst or any lack whatsoever. This says to us that God will provide all our needs without exception. The picture of the sun not striking us or any heat is portraying for us a life where we aren't going to have any problems, troubles, trials, tribulations in heaven ever again. An expression of God wiping away every tear from our eyes is telling us there's nothing in heaven that's going to make us sad or sorrowful ever again. Just perfect joy that never ends. And when we hear of Jesus shepherding us in heaven, leading us to the fountains of living waters, we receive the consoling thought of a never-ending life of perfect joy under God's loving care. Listen to what Jesus said in John's Gospel, where he pictured the hearing and the believing of his Gospel as drinking in that water of life. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. Because our Savior God is responsible, completely responsible for our salvation, then in that vision, John could hear the saints of heaven glorifying and praising God by saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And the angels and all the agents of God wholeheartedly agreed with this. And so they responded by saying, "Amen. Amen. Yes, so shall it be. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. As we celebrate our eternal life and of salvation in heaven, not only will we have a life that's filled with worshiping God, praising Him, and thanking Him, but we'll also be serving the Lord day and night. And this isn't going to be unpleasant or drudgery. It's going to be sheer joy. What a comforting, glorious, and pleasing insight into heaven we receive through John's vision. May this vision of the future be a living reality to us, as well as to all our friends and relatives and all others who would give ear to the gospel of salvation, so that we all can enjoy that wonderful world to come. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Service continues with the choir singing the anthem called the Shepherd's Song. Thank you.
In addition to the general prayer, our prayers of thanksgiving are requested for Deanna Williams, one of our members who lives in San Rafael, California. She recently underwent a knee replacement surgery, and she is at home recovering. So we remember her in our prayers together with the general prayer. Heavenly Father, who hears and answers all our prayers for Jesus' sake, we humbly thank and praise you that you have heeded the prayers of Deanna and her fellow believers. You have made her surgery successful, and even now are granting her the gracious balm of healing. Daily improve her health, and finally make her recovery complete. Restored in body and renewed in spirit, may she serve you faithfully in righteousness and godliness all the days of her life, living by the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us all and gave himself for us. May we join her in thus serving you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dear Jesus, our risen Savior, truly you are our good shepherd, for you gave your life for us, your sheep. Surely it was your great love for us sinners who were lost and straying that moved you to come into this world to live, to die, and to rise again, that we might have the life that does not end. Good Shepherd, we owe you heartfelt thanks and praise and our continued love and devotion for all that you've done and still do to ensure our earthly and eternal welfare. It is true, we have become your sheep by trusting that you are our Savior and God. Nevertheless, we must confess that we still have a rebellious old Adam that is stubborn and sinful and continually leads us astray. Therefore, we need your loving patience as our good shepherd to deliver us from our sinful ways, to protect us from our own foolishness, and to forgive our many sins. We need you to take the evils and dangers that beset us and turn them for our good. We need you to hear and answer our prayers, and we need to hear and heed the sound of your voice as you speak to us in Holy Scripture. Do not, on account of our sins and stubbornness, turn away from us. Our Shepherd, by your continued presence, comfort and cheer us in every journey we must make through the dark, shadowy valleys of this life. Satisfy us with the green pastures of your word, and there nourish our faith. Quench our thirst for righteousness with the refreshing streams of salvation. When we're oppressed on every hand by troubles, distress, temptations, sickness, sin, and heartache. Yes, when life seems too difficult to endure, teach us to turn our eyes of faith to you, the Good Shepherd, and to cast all our cares upon you. Answer our anxious cries, for only you know what is best for us. Refresh us with your help and guidance and your protection and healing, especially when we walk through the valley of death itself. Be with us, Shepherd and overseer of our souls. Dispel the gloom that surrounds us with the bright promise of salvation, filling us with joy and confidence as one by one we journey from this life to heaven. Cause goodness and mercy to follow us the rest of our days. Hear us, merciful Savior and Shepherd, and in your name we also join to pray that prayer which you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, 676, Behold a Host Arrayed in White, is a lot of times sung at funerals, but there's good reason that we sing these words today, as we remembered from Scripture, the blood of Jesus Christ washed us clean, and one day we're going to be arrayed with white robes in heaven. Please stand and join me in the responsive reading of the 23rd Psalm found in the bottom of page 10 and top of page 11. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Receive with believing heart the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We conclude our service with a song of praise. Good morning, and happy Mother's Day. We thank all our mothers for their tireless work of attending to their children's needs, not only when they're young, but even as they get older. May the Lord bless you all, mothers, for your tireless work. This coming week, the Board of Ed will be meeting on Tuesday at 5:30, next Sunday. We'll have our worship service at the regular time of 10 a.m. and the church council will be meeting after the service at 11. And you have the other notes in the bulletin, including the CLC World Mission Prayer List, many things to pray for as our fellow Christians in other parts of the world are seeking to spread the gospel, and many of them faced with difficult trials and tribulations, and they need our prayers. May God in his grace be with you always.